Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We need directions home from Reseda.
Maybe Echo Park Jimmy can help. Okay, Patrick, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Since the unfortunate passing of Tom Petty.
Yeah, it's been a while.
About a month now?
About a month.
Something like that?
A little bit more.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of people weigh in on that. I mean, we did a whole Tom Petty week. We've had some other, you know, calls, emails that we followed up on.
Talked to some friends.
That's right. But here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We haven't heard yet from our friend Echo Park Jimmy. Specifically about Tom Petty.
He hasn't weighed in.
Until now.
Okay. I'm glad. We picked up the phone, and guess who's on the other end?
Free falling. What's up, guys? Jim and Patrick. Tweeter and the Monkey Man. It's Echo Park Jimmy. Sad week in Los Angeles. Sad week in Echo Park. Sad week all over. Sad week in Malibu. I think that's where Tom Petty lived. But he's, you know, like most of the, I haven't read a lot of the tributes, but a lot of them seem to revolve around, you know, he was part of the family. Like, you know, a lot of people got emotional, like they lost a son, you know, they, you know, especially hardcore fans. But even if you were a casual American, he was an American kid, Florida kid, California kid, just, like I said, part of your family. I mean, what you guys touched upon that resonated with me is when we were 8, 9, 10 years old, even if you didn't listen to music, you knew Tom Petty. I remember my favorite record before I even knew what records were was the Chipmunks. An album called Chipmunk Punk. And they did this incredible cover of Refugee. I mean, the Chipmunks. They have like 1,000 covers probably, but their best is probably Refugee. And then in the 80s and 90s, they were, American Girl was featured in probably the best movie of the 80s, Fast Times, in the opening where they introduce everybody. And in the 90s, Silence of the Lambs, Oscar winner, American Girl again. Like two of the most seminal, like, you know, unbelievably favorite movies of many people, you know, so, and, but you guys talked about his legacy. I think you gotta thank Jeff Lynne. You know, Jeff Lynne, he called him his, you know, even when he was in the Traveling Wilburys, he's like producer man. And he made his, by far, his most perfect album, Full Moon Fever. I mean, holy sheep. It's got the song, one of the, probably the song that made me move to Los Angeles from Ohio, Free Fallen. And you have to track down him talking about how him and Jeff Lynne wrote that song on Soundbreaking. But he's like, he was just kind of joking around. He had that first verse about the girl. And then he kind of, like, Jeff Lynne's like, Free Falling. He whispers in his ear, like, free falling. He's like, oh, free falling. And he's like, no, higher. He's like, free. So he couldn't say free. He couldn't. He had to break it up. He's like, free. Free falling. As soon as he did that, he looked at Jeff Lynne. Oh, my God. This is gold. And there you go. Free falling. But his legacy should be safe because he's loved by so many people. And I wish I could have seen those last shows at the Hollywood Bowl, but one of my oldest Beagle clients, Scout, her mom saw the last show, got t-shirts and everything, not knowing it was her last show. So there's 5, 6, 7 almost perfect pop songs on Full Moon Fever, but, why I love Free Fallin', it's a song about California without any mention of California, but he mentions Reseda, Ventura, what else? Mulholland. And, if you've ever been even watched a movie about like those, you know that those are California words for some reason. Like the Californians. On Reseda, you take the 101 down Reseda and then take the 405, but don't take the 405. So take Fountain, like Betty Davis used to say, and then go down Fairfax to La Cienega. And then Los Feliz Boulevard should take you home. Whoa. And, you know, one of the little nuggets I forgot to tell you about Full Moon Fever is at the end of side one, right after running down a dream, there's a little thing where he comes on and he's like, "Hello, CD listeners. This is the point where you turn over the album." So it's like 30 seconds long, and he gives CD listeners like 30 seconds to, like, you know, contemplate side one. Little break, even if it's on CD, it's like, okay, this would be me turning over the album, you know, resting it on my leg, whatever the proper, you know, rock in the suburbs way of opening an album and playing an album and, you know, keeping it free from scratches. But it's a nice little nugget. And one more thing, Jim and Patrick, in a world gone mad, you're so bad.
All right. There we go.
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
I think at one point he was in his car. There you hear
yeah,
the
just going somewhere.
Sound sort of changes there a little bit.
You know, unless I misheard, Jim, that's the first time I think in my life, my long life, that I've ever heard someone use the phrase Beagle client.
Yes. His oldest Beagle client.
Exactly. Just not something you hear in my everyday circles. So
those who are not familiar with the recurring character who is Echo Park Jimmy, he's an old friend of mine from high school, as you mentioned, moved from Ohio to California. I did not know it was because of Free Fallin', though.
That's
I learned
new
this.
Information.
This would, but that's sort of amazing.
Yeah.
But he's also a dog walker to the stars.
Yeah.
And that's where the old Beagle client comes in.
Heaven and hell.
Yes.
And
wow.
who can connect the Chipmunks and Anthony Hopkins like that? You know, there are very few people who can do it.
Okay, so here's the thing. That's the second reference we've had to this Chipmunk punk record.
Yeah.
Remember that came up
yeah.
when we were doing the tributes and somebody else called in about
yeah,
that. I think it was
exactly
Kevin Clement.
Yeah,
I think
it might have been.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that point we said we're not going to play that and we're not going to listen no. to it. But now I feel I must listen. I still haven't heard it.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard
I
this?
I remember it. Yeah.
No. So I guess now I'm going to break down and listen to Chipmunks doing Refugee.
Okay.
All right. That's enough of that.
I think Alvin got into some of the weed that day before they recorded that one.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I guess in both these cases, it's a story about when they were kids and that was a children's record
yeah.
and that's how they discovered
mm-hmm.
Tom Petty. So
yeah.
I guess
Isn't
in
that
sense,
funny?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
it's very cool.
That's,
yeah.
But yeah. That only in that sense.
Well, you have to have a developed ear to pick up on that out of the Chipmunks catalog, I think.
All right, so there was
stuff.
That, and then there was the mention of Free Fallin'. That's
yep.
that's pretty cool that it had so much impact. The
Great
mention
stuff.
Of American Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something about American Girl real quickly here. I've always had kind of mixed feelings about this song.
Okay, talk to me.
I always acknowledge it that it's a great song. Don't get me wrong here.
Sure.
It's a great song, but it's kind of like the same thing with, like, say, Radio Free Europe, in that there's always a part of me that bristles when people say the artist's best song was like their first song.
Yeah, I know.
And
what
I'm
you
just
mean.
Like, no, it like there's got to be other peaks and valleys there. It can't be like the first song.
Yeah.
was the best thing they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about American Girl. Since Petty's death, so many people have, so many musicians and people, you know, who I would really respect have turned to that song and pointed at that one
oh,
and,
yeah.
and talked about how amazing it is, especially for somebody, you know, who was relatively young at that time to write a song like
mm-hmm.
that. And it has more, I guess I never really appreciated either the sort of complexity of the song, the fact that the, you know, the lines don't even rhyme and
mm-hmm.
things like that, and to be able to pull that off and some of the empathy for, like, the female point of view and all that stuff. I guess
certainly
I didn't really contemplate it the way I should have. It is a really amazing song. And so many people after Petty's death, like, covered that live. You know, they turned to that song. It also, what's amazing about it is it works across, almost like across, like, any kind of style or genre.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see, like, country stars playing it and hard rockers playing it. And, you know, it just, it's just this kind of universal song. And I think it was Chuck Prophet who said sort of like, one great thing about Petty's music is he kind of like can bring us all together.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, and I think American Girl really encapsulates that in a lot of ways. And then on top of that, I'm just last week I went to see the Shins.
Yes. And they
played. James Mercer covered
American
Girl.
It's so, like waves crashing on the beach.
You know, twee indie band. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it just works. It really is an incredible song. And I, you know, who can deny that?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Any other thoughts on what he had to say? I mean,
no, I loved
nice
it. It was
tribute.
Just great to hear from him. Sounds like he's doing well. And he's a big fan of Full Moon Fever.
Yeah. And, you know, I make quibble a bit on the Jeff Lynne production, because maybe not that I don't think I think Full Moon Fever is a really great record. It may not exactly speak to sort of my ear quite the same way. But I love it when people have a passion about certain things. If it were me, I think the Jimmy Iovine or the Rick Rubin production is sort of, you know, but think, look at these producers he worked with. Kind of amazing, right?
Yeah.
These are all giants.
Guys knew their way around a knob.
Yeah, so that's kind of amazing too. He always had like great people on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't deny, I mean, give Jeff Lynne his props. I mean, Petty had some of his biggest success with those two records. I think was it two that he produced? I think that and Into the Great Wide Open.
He really,
and then also the Traveling Wilburys stuff. So
he really got mega that at that point. He really did.
So with that, we'll close with Echo Park Jimmy's other song that he mentioned off of Full Moon Fever in just a second here. You are listening to Rock in the Suburbs. You should be like Echo Park Jimmy a couple of ways. Not every way, let me tell you that.
Yeah.
But in a couple of ways, you should be like Echo Park Jimmy. One is you should listen to this show.
Every day.
Right, which I know he does.
Bang.
Usually while he's walking dogs that belong to stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way you should be like him is you should call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message. You know, the number's not blocked for everybody else. You can call in.
Do it while you're at work.
That's right. While you're walking dogs, whatever.
612-440-1984.
Call that number. You can, if you want, email us. You can do that at work too.
Yep.
rock@suburbspod.com. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod, and you can visit our website, suburbspod.com. And with that, we're gonna leave you with You're So Bad in a World Gone Mad. You're So Bad. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
My sister got lucky, married a yuppie, took him for all he was worth. Now she's a swinger, dating a singer. I can't decide which is worse, but not me. Best thing I ever had in a world gone mad. You're so bad. My sister's ex-husband can't get no loving. Walks around all faced and hurt.
On Reseda, you take the 101 down Reseda. And then take the 405, but don't take the 405. So take Fountain, like Betty Davis used to say, and then go down Fairfax to La Cienega, and then Los Feliz Boulevard should take you home.